Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Live from Bonn, Germany, I'm Crispin Mwakideo. Welcome to DW's Africa Link. Our main stories this Thursday: President Robert Mugabe of Zimbabwe defends the ruling ZANU-PF and threatens to punish his critics.
I want to warn them very strongly, ZANU will not tolerate any nonsense.
Analysts slam plans by Uganda's President Yoweri Museveni to bail out a number of companies.
Has it been determined at this stage that if these particular companies are rescued, you'll have an overall positive effect on the economy?
And the Pokemon smartphone game grips Nigeria. These stories plus our learning by ear radio drama up next.
Top story.
President for life. That was the main message from Zimbabwe's longtime ruler, President Robert Mugabe, as he addressed thousands of his supporters on Wednesday. The 92-year-old leader lashed out at some of his former comrades who denounced his leadership and vowed to punish them severely. From Harare, Privilege Mushaniri reports.
Addressing his supporters and a sizable number of former fighters, Mugabe said investigations are underway to establish the source of the damning communique issued against him last week.
We established an investigation team in the party to establish the authors of the document. We want to know who authored it and published it. If we get the culprits, they are going to be punished severely. The punishment will be hard.
War veterans who fought in the war against former colonizer United Kingdom last week defied Mugabe by releasing a damning communique accusing him of leadership failure. No one among the former fighters is acknowledging authorship of the document. War veteran spokesperson Douglas Mahia says the fighters have been neglected and it is time they reclaim their position.
Why are we not respected? The hatred that we are receiving from the people who are in power as a result of our sacrifice is simply the same with the hatred that Smith had with us. What's the difference now? Where do they want us to go? But let it be understood, we are not going anywhere. We are the bedrock of the party. Who does not understand or agree with us from the revolutionary point of view is the one who should leave this country.
On Wednesday, Mugabe also issued a strong warning to opposition parties, the clergy, foreign embassies, and any dissent voices. Pro-democrats protests against government are increasing in the country. Mugabe said police should arrest anyone demonstrating and lock them away.
I want to warn them very strongly. ZANU will not tolerate any nonsense.
Analysts say paging of dissent voices may happen, but citizens' anger will not stop. On Wednesday, seven armed men stormed the home of war veteran spokesperson Douglas Mahia and held his family hostage. The incident was reported to the police. Political analyst Pedsai Ruhanya says war veterans' defiance is historic.
Even in their divided form, there is no faction united as the Zimbabwe National Liberation War Veterans that have come to say Mugabe must go. They have said that, and this is historic.
President Mugabe's party is struggling with factional fights among his leaders who are jostling to succeed the 92-year-old leader. This has forced those behind him to hold rallies in support of him at every occasion.
DW's correspondent Privilege Mushaniri reporting in Harare. Wilf Mbanga is an analyst on Zimbabwe and founder, editor and publisher of the Zimbabwean newspaper. Mbanga, who now lives in exile after being declared an enemy of the people, has been describing those who attended Mugabe's speech to my colleague Isaac Mugabe.
The majority of the people at this meeting are youths who did not fight in the 1970s, you know, anti-colonial war. This is mostly young people who have been promised jobs and been promised stands, free stands, in return for showing their support for Mugabe. The majority of the true war veterans stayed away from the meeting. The few, you know, leaders who were there are not, you know, your well-known leaders of the War Veterans Association.
War veterans have always been known to be on the side of President Robert Mugabe, but some turned on their commander last week, saying he had backtracked on the values of the liberation struggle. What do you make of this split within the ranks of the war veterans?
the war veterans have now come to see the light. I mean, they are now beginning to side with the people, but the driving force behind it is their impatience with President Robert Mugabe. They are pushing for Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa to take over. And they see Mugabe at his weakest. You know, Mugabe is on his last legs. Is that within ZANU-PF, there is another faction which is called the G40, which means stands for Generation 40, those in their 40s, support the First Lady, Grace Mugabe, to take over.
Could that be the reason as to why we are hearing reports that Mugabe might have dissolved the Veterans Committee?
Well, he will. I mean, he will have to, because majority of them are behind Chris Muchangwa, the leader of the War Veterans Group.
Were you surprised that the veterans would lash out their discontent to a comrade of Mugabe's person at this time when the country is going through difficult hardships, economic hardships?
Well, they can afford to do so, and, you know, because Mugabe is no longer in charge. You know, it's not the old Robert Mugabe, you know, who was in charge, who had all his faculties, who knew how to outfox his opponent. We've got a frail old man, and they know that his wife, Grace Mugabe, is really the power behind the throne. And so they're throwing everything into this to make sure that they come on top of the heap.
Zimbabwean political commentator Wilf Mbanga.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
To Uganda now, where several companies have breathed a sigh of relief after President Museveni's government announced plans to bail out the distressed companies. At least $300 million US has been set aside for this purpose. But as Alex Jita reports from Kampala, many Ugandans have criticized the bailout, with some saying the companies are being rewarded for the financial contributions they reportedly made to President Yoweri Museveni's campaign.
This is Musa Bode Group, renowned for making machines used for farming and construction. For many years now, this company that also has a training wing has been turning scrap metal into usable machines that are used both locally and also exported to other neighboring countries. But due to lack of funding, Musa Bode Group is not able to make better quality products for the international market. It is companies like this that need government support but don't appear on the list of beneficiaries of government support. Instead, government has chosen to support those that are performing poorly, which has left many Ugandans wonder the criteria used to select them, as Augustus Nwagaba, an economic analyst, explains.
The major criteria used usually is the tax which the company pays. Two, they are employing a specific number of people. And when you look at some of these companies that want a bailout, most of them are in non-tradables. And this one is questionable whether we can have a bailout or whether due diligence is conducted.
President Yoweri Museveni says that the move to bail out certain companies was because most of them have lost businesses in South Sudan due to the civil war there, and the government has to cover for the losses.
The ones who were exporting South Sudan were bringing money, and I think those should be looked at differently. In fact, other countries normally have what they call export credit guarantee. You put money, if your people are exporting to a risky area, and you say, okay, you go ahead and export. If things go wrong, I will support you from this fund.
But many stakeholders, including those in the private sector and government, are not convinced that bailing out companies owned by prominent business tycoons is a feasible solution. John Walugembe, the executive director of the Uganda Small Scale Industries Association, questions the sustainability of the whole arrangement.
Has it been determined at this stage that if these particular companies are rescued, you'll have an overall positive effect on the economy? Is this a message that micro, small and medium businesses do not matter? They can as well go ahead to collapse.
The executive director of the Uganda Revenue Authority, Doris Akol, thinks the affected companies are failing because of high interest rates on the bank loans they acquired.
Many of them took out loan facilities when the interest rates were low. And then mid-year, because of the macroeconomic conditions that prevailed, the central bank had to raise the interest rates. The loan obligations became higher, and many of our business people became non-performing.
Members of parliament, mainly from the opposition, are preparing a motion to shoot down the proposal when it is presented before parliament.
DW correspondent Alex Jita in Kampala. You're listening to DW's Africa Link. Pokemon goes to Lagos. The new smartphone game Pokemon Go, which has captivated and infuriated others around the world, has not yet been officially made available in Nigeria. But many people in the commercial capital Lagos have managed to download it. Some in the city are even already getting addicted to the game. Pokemon Go allows players to use their smartphones to capture fictional creatures called Pokemons. The Pokemons appear on device screens as players move around the real world. Sam Olukoya has been finding out from some enthusiasts what it means to catch Pokemons amidst the hustle and bustle of Lagos.
Lagos highways are known to be very chaotic. Pokemon Go enthusiasts have identified the highways as one of the main challenges they face when they want to catch Pokemons. Simdi Onura tells me that accidents are really unavoidable.
Basically, Lagos traffic is quite dangerous. You could be trying to get the Pokemon, and when that happens, you're hit down by a bike, which is very possible. It's just best to do it when you know you are in a very cool environment. And so that's about it. That's what I think. Lagos has its peculiarities. Okay, that's one peculiarity. So, yeah, you are prone to this kind of interruptions while you're playing the game. Instead of you enjoying the pleasures of comfort while playing the game, you could be, hassled a lot.
This is the Pokemon Go trailer. The game has many female fans, especially here in Lagos. Toby Ayani is one of them. She says besides the chaotic traffic in the city, there are also street gangs who disrupt their enjoyment.
So I feel that one of the challenges we ladies face is with security. Holding our phones in the hand and trying to find a Pokemon might look, might invite the wrong crowd. You want to catch a Pokemon, your mind is, I need to catch that Pokemon, I need to level up. So at that point, you are not aware of your surroundings. All you are aware of is trying to catch a Pokemon. Once you get to that level, I feel so many things can happen. Somebody can just come and snatch your phone. Somebody can just come and beat you up. Somebody can steal your bag. The possibilities or the dangers are many.
Lagos is notorious for traffic jams that keep people stranded on the roads for several hours. But now with Pokemon Go, the bad traffic is good news for many. They utilize the long hours spent in traffic jams playing Pokemon Go. Samuel Biobak, who plays Pokemon Go on his phone, is one of those who catch Pokemons when stuck in traffic.
Sometimes I deliberately pray that there's traffic congestion in the morning, because once the bus stops, you know that there are Pokemons around there to catch. I always hope that, of course, I want to get to wherever my destination is in good time. But of course, that's some conscious part of me. That Pokemon part of me always wants to run into traffic and catch as many Pokemons as I can.
Many agree that playing Pokemon Go in Lagos is a sweet and sour story.
Sam Olukoya in Lagos. Let's leave the Pokemon world behind and get some more action in our Learning by Ear radio drama on migration.
Deutsche Welle, Learning by Ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello and welcome to Learning by Ear. We are on the seventh episode of this radio drama called The Promised Land, a story of African migration to Europe. In the last episode, Sule was shocked to see his friend Farahani on a news report about illegal migrants who were intercepted at sea by European border guards and sent back home. Meanwhile, Linda has been in Europe for 4 months now, and the reality of studying and living there is beginning to dawn. She chatted online with her fiancé Chivasi, but lied to him about how difficult she was finding things. Finally, Linda called Florence, a lady she met on the plane on her way to Europe. Florence has offered to help Linda find a solution to her money problems. So what's in store for us today? Keep listening to today's episode called Survival in the Concrete Jungle. We begin with Linda and Florence, who are meeting at the shopping center to buy Linda some warm winter clothes.
Wow, this place is absolutely amazing. So many shops all together in one big building. And so many beautiful things. This is the kind of stuff you see in fashion magazines, isn't it?
You're so funny. Okay, let's go and make you into a European African lady.
It's so kind of you. Florence?
Yeah?
May I ask you a question? A rather personal one.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
How did you end up here in Europe? Did you come to study or work? You seem to be doing really well, and I'm quite envious.
Okay, Linda, first of all, never ask a migrant, especially from Africa, how they ended up here. It's taboo. Secondly, hey, you don't need to envy me. You can have what I have too. But you have to be patient, and you have to make some sacrifices.
You mean I can have a car like yours, clothes like yours, and wear nice jewelry like yours?
Yep.
In that case, I need to find a job like yours.
Yeah, something like that. You're too young, though. Really, I think it's better we leave it for now.
I'm not too young. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here in Europe. I'll turn 21 soon. I'm quite old enough to make my own decisions. What sacrifices will I have to make?
Linda, people think that you only find jungles in Africa, Asia, and South America. But Europe is a jungle, too. The difference is that this is a concrete jungle. But the rule of the jungle is the same wherever you are. Survival of the fittest. We migrants need to do much more than the natives just in order to survive. Hey, do you like this dress?
Yes, it's beautiful. But I can't...
Go on and try it on. If it fits, I'll buy it for you.
Flor, thank you. I've never had a friend like you.
Florence is almost too generous and kind to be true, don't you think? After all, she hardly knows Linda. What can she really want from her? Linda tries on dress after dress, shoe after shoe, coat after coat. And Florence says she's happy to pay the bill. But as Linda is piling up her purchases at the shopping center, her parents have been given some dreadful news. Let's join them as they arrive home from work.
Shut up, you stupid dog. You have no idea what we've just been through.
Hey, come on. The dog had nothing to do with us being laid off. Don't put the blame on him.
30 years. 30 years we've been civil servants, working our fingers to the bone. Then all of a sudden, we are told there's no work for us. It isn't fair, Mama Linda. It isn't fair.
You had the director. He said this is happening all over the world. People everywhere are losing their jobs. So come on, darling. Don't worry. We'll manage.
How will we manage? Why is it always the little people who have to carry the burden? We didn't deserve this. No, Mama Linda, we deserved better. We deserved better.
Yes, sit down, my darling. I'll make you a nice cup of tea and you'll soon feel better.
I don't want a cup of tea. Why would a cup of tea make me feel better? I want my job back.
Okay, darling. I know this isn't easy for you. It's hard for me too. But you aren't going to make it easier by getting angry with me and the dog. Let's talk it over and see where we can go from here. Would you like me to tell Linda what happened?
Have you lost your mind? What do you want to tell Linda? That both her parents are now jobless and will soon be homeless as well? You know that our daughter is trying to concentrate on her studies. This will only make her worry. She doesn't even know yet that we can't pay her fees for the rest of the course. You will tell her none of this.
Maraga, my dear husband, I'm afraid you're not thinking straight. Linda is our daughter. She's the only child we have, and so she needs to know what the situation is at home. I think she's mature enough to cope with the news, and maybe, well, she might be able to help us.
Help us? How?
Oh, financially, of course. I hear that most African students living in Europe find jobs they can do in their free time. Why shouldn't Linda do the same? It's obvious that we're going to need some financial assistance. There'll be no salary coming in, and we've spent all our savings on her studies.
So she can work while she continues to study?
That's exactly what I just said.
I know you did. Why didn't you tell me about this earlier? Does Linda know she can do this?
If she didn't know before she went, I'm sure she does now. In fact, I'd be surprised if she hasn't found a job already in the university canteen or something. You know?
Yeah, you're right. Linda does love cooking. You know what, Mama Linda? That cup of tea is beginning to sound like a good idea after all.
I always have good ideas.
Ask anyone who's lost their job and they'll tell you. It's not only a financial blow, but also psychologically devastating. Luckily for them, or so they think, they have a daughter in Europe who can send them money once in a while. Back at the shopping center, Florence has just finished paying for Linda's goodies. And now they're sitting in a fast food restaurant having a meal.
Mmm, this chicken is yummy. Yeah. Flo, this is like the most fun I've had since I arrived in Europe. I'd like to live just like you. I'm ready to do whatever it takes.
Are you sure, Linda? Mm-hmm. You know, once you decide, there's no turning back.
Nice dresses, fancy shoes, warm winter coats and a tasty meal. What's there to turn back to? Tell me, what do I have to do?
What about your boyfriend?
Who, Shivasi? Mm-hmm. What about him?
Well, yes. Where does he come into your plans?
Well, he doesn't. I mean, I still love him, of course, but I have to think about my life here right now. He has his own life back home.
Were you planning to get married?
As a matter of fact, yes, we are. After I finish with my studies. But for now, I want to enjoy my time here and live like all the other students.
Okay. Can you keep a secret, Linda?
Of course I can.
I mean, a real secret from everyone. Everyone you know and trust.
Even my parents?
Especially your parents. And Shivasi too.
Okay. I'm getting a bit nervous now. What's the secret? Do you deal in drugs?
No. Come on, do I look like someone who's into drugs?
No, but before I came here, I was warned that drugs are a major problem here in Europe.
Yep.
Even with some of the people at my university.
Yeah, no, but no, Linda, I don't do drugs and I don't deal in them either, okay?
So what can it be then? Is it prostitution?
If I said yes, what would you say?
I would say, Florence, it was a real pleasure meeting you and thank you for spending such a wonderful time with me. But I'm sorry, I didn't come to Europe to sell my body for money.
You'd really say that?
Yes. There are some things I can compromise on, but some things are against my principles, and that is something I could never, ever do.
But you said you could keep a secret, right?
Yes, I can. As long as it doesn't hurt me or those I love and care for.
All right, Linda. You say you want to live a life like mine, and you're ready to do what it takes? So here's the deal.
Want to know what deal Florence is going to propose? And what Linda's response will be? And what about our North African friends Farahani and Sule? Remember them? 4 months have passed since Farahani nearly drowned trying to cross into Europe illegally. Are they planning another attempt? Don't miss the next episode of The Promised Land, a story of African migration to Europe. And join us online to discuss this episode, including what African migrants have to do to be granted the right to stay in Europe by visiting our Facebook page, facebook.com/DW.LBE. Until we meet again, take care and bye-bye.
Be sure to join us on Monday for the next installment of that story. It's almost time to go, but before that, a reminder of our main stories. Zimbabwe's President Robert Mugabe has threatened severe punishment for his critics while vowing to rule for as long as possible. A section of Ugandans have questioned the government's plan to bail out collapsing businesses. And game lovers in Lagos are getting caught up in the Pokemon Go smartphone game. We welcome your comments and suggestions on the stories we have aired. Simply send us an email to feedback.africa@dw.com. A letter to AfricaLink, DW 53110 Bonn, Germany, or a text message to 49160957 59510, and we shall air some of your comments on Friday's Your Say segment. More news on the continent at dw.com/Africa. I'm Crispin Mwakideu. Thank you for listening. Until next time tomorrow, take care.